So we're on the top of Kuf Yud Dalet Omen Aleph, and we're up to Mesve. Mesve Amavasha, correct. So how many lines down? It's about 8 lines down from the top. Now, we just finished saying that Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. And that's why, in the case of a Kohen Tomei who eats Truma Tmeya, he's not Chayv Misu Dei Shamayim for Tumas Gufo. Logically, he should have been Chayv. Why? Because since he's Tomei and he's eating Truma, albeit Truma Tmeya, but he's eating Truma nevertheless, he should be Chayv Misa. But we have a principle called Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. The exception to that rule would be Basar Chalav, based on the drush of Gedi, such that if he cooks Chalav and Chalav, or Nevela and Chalav together, and he eats it, he's chayav for both Chalav and Nevela on the one hand, and Basar Chalav on top to boot. But that's the exception to the rule. The rule is Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. Now we have a brisa. And there are many parts of this brisa, but the last part of this brisa is what's most relevant to us, because it seems to assume that Iser Chal Iser. We're going to have a case of Nosar and Pigul and Tameh, and he cooks it with milk, and he's Chayev for Basar B'Cholav on top of the Iser of Pigul, Nosar, and Tameh, and that would indicate that Iser Chal Al Iser. Again, unless you assume that Basar B'Cholav is the exception to the rule. Now, in the last Gemara that we did, which had many, many different answers and different Lashonos in order to try to reconcile Shmuel, who holds that Iser Chal Al Iser, which rule who holds in the case of Tomei, Kohen Tomei Shachal Truma Tmeya, based on a statement of Rabbi Lazar, Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. So the last answer of the whole group was Mar Omer Chada V'lo Pligi, which you may recall from the top of Daf Kuf Yudalin Omer Aleph, right before this Mesre. And we said that according to that final answer, basically, there is no machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, neither in the case of Basar B'Cholav, nor in the case of Kohen Tomei Shachal Truma Tmeya, because each one of them was talking about something else. And when Shmuel says you get Malkus, he was talking about Bishul. And with regard to Bishul, there's no problem with Iser Chal Al Iser. As far as Achil is concerned, Shmuel would agree that you don't get Malkus because Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. And that doesn't contradict Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is talking about an Iser Achila on top of an Iser Achila, and then we apply the principle of Ein Iser Chal Al Iser, and therefore you don't get Malkus. So we had a long discussion yesterday with the Teferes Yaakov, in order to get an overview here. We didn't finish that discussion completely, so if you don't mind, we'll just add on a piece to that discussion. Now, the Gemara earlier said that according to Shmuel, the Iser of Chalev and the Iser of Nevela are both subject to Basar B'Cholav if he cooks them with milk. And Shmuel derived that from the extra word Gedi, that Iser Chal Al Iser. Now, it could be possible, according to one school of thinking in the Rishonim, that Shmuel in Kol Tarkula holds that Iser Chal Al Iser, and he didn't need the Pasuk Gedi to tell you in Chalev and Nevela that he's Chayav for Basar B'Cholav when he cooks it with milk. Now, if that be the case, then we could assume that according to all the various Lashonos here in our Gemara here on Kuf Yudalid, that Shmuel doesn't agree with Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. And Rashi had explained that Shmuel derived the Iser of Bas B'Cholav on top of Chela V'Nevela as a Yitur of the Pasuk. So we have two approaches here. One approach is to say that in the case of Chelev and Nevela, Shmuel says Yechai for Bas B'Cholav because of a special Yitura of Gedi. That makes it an exception to the rule, but the general rule is any Iser Chavos. The other way is to say it is that not that Bas B'Cholav is the exception to the rule, but the rule is reflected in Bas B'Cholav as an application of the general rule that Iser is Chalal Iser. So we really can vacillate back and forth as to what Shmuel's final opinion is, bottom line, as we would say, as far as Iser Chalal Iser. There's one way of saying that Ein Iser Chalal Iser, but Bas B'Cholav is the exception to the rule based on Gedi. And the other way is to say that Iser is Chalal Iser. Bas B'Cholav is just an application of that general rule that Iser is Chalal Iser, according to Shmuel. And really, he doesn't need the word Gedi. But it is possible, therefore, to say that Shmuel derives from Bas B'Cholav and universalizes that Iser is Chalal Iser. V'lomad mizeh l'kol haTorah kula. And as a general rule, kol haTorah kula, Shmuel would hold Iser Chalal Iser. Now, in the case of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they darshan from Yiturei Dekra, and according to Shmuel, he wanted to be marbe chelev and avela, and he also was marbe shlil if the fetus was developed, and he excludes tmeya. On the other hand, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi hold that ein iser chalal iser. They don't accept the ribui of chelev and mesa, nor do they have to exclude the case of tmeya, because ein iser chalal iser, which means that according to Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, we have two psukim that are extra for drasha. And Rashi, back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, says that according to Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, they're going to darshan one pasuk with gufo, one pasuk for ribui for shlil, and another pasuk to exclude shilia. They hold that shilia is not pirsha of the alma, and therefore we need a miut to exclude it from basar. Okay. Having said that, as just a tag on to yesterday's discussion, let's begin again with this brisa. The brisa says, Hamavashel b'mei cholav, if he cooks with mei cholav. Now, what they did was, in the process of making cheese, they were able to break down the milk into two substances. And one substance from the milk itself was pretty much water. We call it mei cholav. And the question that this brisa is addressing is, what's the status of mei cholav? And one could ostensibly argue that by separating the milk from the thick part of the milk from the water of the milk, which, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, is called in English whey, W-H-E-Y.
Yes, that's correct.
So that water might be considered mayim. It's not really cholav, even though it's derived from mayim. So he says here in the footnote, kishachovtzim hagvina noslim becholav, they put some sort of a substance into the milk. He calls it kum, or shar dvarim ha-ma'amidim es ha-gvina, and that's called a dovra ma'amid, so it sets up the cheese. Ma'amayim nifradim min ha-cholav. And the water element in milk, I don't know what percentage of milk is water, probably a very high percentage, I'm just guessing, that separates itself from the rest of the cholav, and that's called mei cholav. And Rashi holds that mecholov in the Aramaic is called nisyuve dechalva. And Tosfos agrees that nisyuve lechalva is the same as mecholov. Now here in the footnote he quotes the Aruch, who says that mecholov hamitmatzei mikipon hagvina, that this mecholov is taken from the cheese making process. Now, even if we come to the conclusion that mei cholov is not really cholov, because you'll see here in the Brice it says, Avashel be mei cholov, he takes meat and he cooks it with mei cholov potur, which seems to indicate that this mei cholov is mayim, it's not cholov. Midrabbanan, it may very well be Asur, but he's potter from Malkus on a Daraisa level. And the Rush writes that Nisyume de Chalva is Asur Midaraisa, so that the Rush must be assuming that Nisyume Chalva, the Chalva, is not the same as Mei Chalv, because again, Mei Chalv is clearly, in the worst case scenario, is only Dirabbanan. But it's not real chalav on a Daraisa level. Nisyuve the chalva, which we thought was identical with mechalav, according to the Rush, it generates a chiyuv daraisa. So therefore, the Rush says that mechalav hamurim kan haynu duli achar chavitzas hagvina mevashlim es achalav shenishar. Interesting. He has a whole other process here. In his vision, after the cheese was made and the way of the milk goes down, we take it and we cook it a second time. Umafridim shuv mayim ben acholv. And in this process, on a second round, you remove and extract the mayim, the leftover water element from the cholv. Mayim elu kruyim mei cholv. Umayim bi almahim. On a deraisa level, it's clearly just mayim. So the first round, before we cook it, that's called the Siube de Chalva, and according to the Rush, that's also the rice, that's real Chalv. It's only when we subject this combination to a second Bishul, and the Vashel Mesach Chalv HaNishar, so there's definitely after the Chavitza Sagvina, there still is real Chalv Doraisa that's left, and that's Doraisa, and that's called the Siube de Chalva. We're going to subject this to a second process by which we're going to remove any of the mayim that's left in this chalav. So again, after the gvina is made, we still have chalav that's mixed with water, but there's chalav there, that's chalav d'oraisa. But now in the second round, we're going to remove the chalav, separate the chalav, and all we have left is maya, which is called maya bi'alma, which in the worst case scenario could be d'rabbana. Now, are you allowed to cook that maya, that mei chalav, with basar? Or shall we say that the rabbanon it's asur? So we're going to assume that it's asur mid rabbanon. Why? Because we're going to accept right now the shach, who says in Siman Pei Zayin that when it says potter here in our braisa, it means on a deraisa level he's potter. In rabbanon, he's not allowed to cook meat with this mei chalav, even though on a deraisa level it's not milk at all. Now I'm just thinking out loud. It could be that the shach envisions the process of mei chalav the way the Rishonim did before the Rosh, if you follow what I mean. In which case, the color of this liquid is a dark white, you know, a heavy white. It looks and it's reminiscent of chalav. But it could be that the shach would agree in the Rosh's frame of reference that if there's a second bishul, then when you're left with, when you separate any leftover chalav after the gvin, and you're left with water, that's mayim b'yam, that doesn't even vaguely look like milk. And it's clearly different than milk. So it could be, I'm just throwing out a possibility, it would require a lot more research, that maybe the shach is based on the fact that the chachamim will consider as cholav that which the Torah doesn't consider of cholav if it has all the, you know, all the external trappings of cholav. It looks like milk. So for example, there might be an isa drabbanon in the case of milk of a behemoth mare, for example, or milk of zachar, if it really looks like milk. I don't know. I've never seen the milk of a zachar, so I don't know. But here, according to the Rosh, that what you're left with is maya b'alma. Maybe you don't even have an isa drabbanon to cook that with milk. I don't know. But let's go on to the Brice.
I have the quote from the Rambam and from the Shulchan Aruch.
And what does it say?
Avlaser basar b'meichalav pater. Shein loka alachilasa mishum basar b'chalav.
Sounds like it should be also the Rambam.
It should be, yeah.
Right, that's what it sounds like. So that's what the Shach
pretty clear that it's
right. That's what the Shach points out in Siman Pei Zayin Sivkot and Chaf Beis, that it's clearly also in the Rabbanah. But I'm just saying, I wonder, according to the Rosh, that the Mechol that we're talking about here is not this Yumei Dechalma, but it's really just Maya B'Alma. So, if there's an Iser of Bishol and Achila in such a case, it's Mamish Mayim. Okay, Dam Sheh Bishlo Bechol.
You see, the Tosfos says Isra Mi'alicha.
Ah, oh, he says it Beferish.
That's pretty clear.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where is that?
Nevasha Me'mechal Apot.
Chalav Isra Mi'alicha Decha Kutach Minis. Oh, because Tosfos identifies Me'mechal as Nisubei Dechal, like Rashi does. And therefore, Mamash has the substance or the appearance of Chalav. And that's what we use in Kutach. Very good.
It's Pata Avalasa.
Right. So again, if anybody wakes you up in the middle of the night and asks you, are you allowed to cook meat with mechalav, you'll tell me it's awesome. You tell them it's awesome that I'm butter. The only exception is Berzon in the Rosh. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to suggest that if the Rosh is on understanding is that there's one level called the Siyubei Dechalav and a lower level which is mechalav, which is after a second bishul, and you separate all the water from the chalav, and you end up with Maya B'Alma, I was wondering if that already becomes Maya B'Alma, and therefore you're allowed to cook it with meat. Now, Dam Shebishlo B'Cholav is Potter. And the reason for that is because Dam is not called Basar. It's not included on the Gedi. And the Brisa continues to expand those elements of the animal which do not qualify as basar, it's not gedi, like hatsavos, the bones, hagidim, the sinews, karnayim on the horns, vatlofim on the hooves. And all these are not considered basar. Fine. So we have dam. You know, it's really interesting the way the Brisa splits it up into paragraphs, so to speak. In other words, I would have combined dam with hatsavos. The reason why I think the Brisa separates them is because the Brisa holds that in the case of dam, we're talking about a liquid substance, and the liquid substance is clearly not basar. It's not an essential part of the body of the animal. It's a separate liquid that brings the oxygen to all the parts of the animal. But then we get to different parts of the animal itself, and we are now subsuming them under a different category than gidin and basal. Now I'm a little bit perplexed about the case of gidin, because the Torah prohibits gidan nasha. Now, if you assume yesh begidim and oseng tam, then perhaps gid should be considered like basar. And therefore, if you were to cook a gidan nasha, for example, with behemoth tveah, it could very well be that you would have a double isur. You would have an isur of gid and then an isur of behemoth tveah, but they're both considered basar. I don't know, here we get the impression that gidin are certainly not basar. Now, the final paragraph in this price is the one that really interests us the most. It's really the primary focus of our attention here. Pigul, ha-pigul va-nosar va-tomei shebishlon becholov chayov. Now, this brisa is actually a tosefta here in the 8th parak that we're learning in Chulin. And it says in the Tosefta, Hapigul vanosar vatame shebishlam bechalav chayev alehem bishum pigul nosar vatame. So those last couple of words are omitted from our Gemara. And this is critical. Why? Because the Tosefta, the way we have it, not the way it's being quoted here in the Gemara, implies that there's no Issur Basar B'Cholav. It says, Chayev Aleihem Mishum Pigul Nosar V'Tameh. As if to say, only for Pigul, but not for Basar B'Cholav. And he quotes a sefer called the Minchas Yitzchak, which is a super commentary on the Tosefta, that the Brice intends to tell us that he's chayv on achila for pigul nosar v'tami, but he's not chayv for basar b'cholav, which reflects the sheet of ein isur chal al isur. Now you might ask, well, why doesn't he get malchus for bishul basar b'cholav? And the answer is that since he doesn't get malchus on achila, then he doesn't get malchus on bishul, and that's based on the equation that we spoke about yesterday between bishul and achila. So we're going to have to assume that our Gemara had a different text in the Braisa, in the Tosefta.
I have the Tosefta in front of me here.
Right. If you find anything that I didn't say, please tell me. But no, I'm pretty sure you're going to find exactly what I just said. I think.
I just look at the text, that's all.
So see what you find over there. It should say over there, Chayav Aleihem Mishum Pigul Nosar V'Tameh. That's what you want to find. And according to the Minchas Yitzchak, you're not chayav for basar b'chol, neither for the achila nor for the bishul. And that's against our Gemara. Our Gemara is deriving from this brisa that isur chal on isur, the isur basar b'chol will be chal on the isur chelev, or in these cases nosar tameh and pigul. So how do we reconcile this braisa with the Iman Diomar who says Eini Sur Chal Isur? And the Gemara says that Eino Chinami Eini Sur Chal Isur is Machlokas Tanoi. This braisa reflects the Shita that Isur Chal Al Isur. Hai Tana Sovar She Isur Chal Al Isur. And that applies even to Basar B'Cholav. Now Rabbi Ami and Ravasi held that any surchalisa b'chol Torah kula, not even in basar b'cholav. Well, that's a different tana. So there are two tanaim. Now the achronim say that the Gemara never had in mind to prove from this brisa that isur is chal al isur, because it's not clear from this brisa that we're talking about achila. It's possible that the brisa is talking about bishul. And in the case of Bishul, since there's only one Isur Bishul, insofar as it's possible Cholav, there's no problem with an Isur Chal Isur. So for example, if you take Pigul Nosar Tameh and you cook it with milk, then it could very well be that if you eat that mixture, you're potter, because an Isur Chal Isur. The price is only telling me that you're chayav for Bishul. And that's because there's no Isur Chal Isur in the case of Bishul. So what was then the Gemara's kasha from this price? And the answer is, if we go back to the first lashon, the Lishna Kama, that if you hold that there's no malchus on achila, then you don't get malchus on bishul, then this brisa would actually prove that you get malchus on bishul. Correct, because that's explicit in the Braisa. And now we're holding that if you don't get Malkus on Achila, you don't get Malkus on Bishul. So it must be that according to this Braisa, you would get Malkus for Achila as well.
So there's against that the line that says, Kibun Kala Achila lo loki, al Bishul nami lo loki. That's against. Right?
that since you don't get Malkus
for Achila, you also don't get
Malkus for Bishul. So how could you get Malkus for Bishul in this Braisa if you're not going to get Malkus for Achila? It must be that this Braisa holds that Isra Chal Isra, even though again in many places the Gemara points out that whether Isra Chal Isra or not is a Machlokas Tanoi. But the Gemara thinks that everybody accepts this Braisa, and therefore you get Malkus on Bishul. And the Gemara rejects it and says that this Braisa holds the Shita that Isra Chal Isra B'chol HaTorah Kula, and therefore you get Malkus on Achila. But Rav Ami and Rav Asi hold that ain't Isra Chal Isra, even in the case of Basa B'chol. Now he quotes a Chassam Sofer here. The Chassam Sofer says that if the svar of the machlokes between the two lashonos, which we discussed yesterday at great length, is that the Tana who says that you're allowed to, let's say, cook the bones or the sinews or the hooves or the horns with milk, he holds that the Isur Bishul is an independent Isur, which means that it's possible that we can talk about an Isur Bishul even without an Isur Achila. So that means that the Braisa wants to know what happens if you cook atzomos, etc., with cholov. Is that called Bishul Basar Cholov? And do the atzomos have the status of Basar? And that might be a separate issue as far as Bishul is concerned. And we may come to the conclusion, theoretically, and that's going to be the case of Tomei and Pigel and Nosar, that Eyal Kinami were dealing with Basar, and as far as Bishul is concerned, you do violate the Isur of Bishul, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you violate the Isur Achila, because as far as the Isur Achila is concerned, we have a principle called Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Now some Sofer points out that it could be that there's another reason why the Braisa held that you don't get Malkus for Achila in a case where you cooked milk with the Atzomos. And that's because it's a Dover Sheinu Royal Achila. The Torah only prohibits something in Achila if it's Royal Achila. But to eat these hard bones, that's not Royal Achila. So therefore the Chassam Sofer says the following. Why did the Braisa have to bother excluding atzomos, etc., from basar b'chol, because it's not called basar, it's not called gedi, and it's not included in gedi, and it has the same status as dam? Why not just exclude atzomos because it's a davar sheino roi l'achila? So he says the following. Madua Sovra HaGemara Shema Shekosva Braisa Lesar HaPigol VaNosar Shebishla B'Cholov Kavanosa Lesar B'Achila. Right, who says that when the Braisa establishes that you're not allowed to take Pigol and cook it with milk, that's because of the Isra Achila Shekein V'Bishol Pshita She'Asur. Right, because there's no issue of Ein Bishol Achabisol with regard to Bishol. So then, by definition, if the Braisa is coming to mechadish something and you're chayav, it must be that you're chayav for achila. And we've already clarified that with regard to the din of atzomos, the isra achila and the isra bishul are two separate isurim, and there was a serious havamina that you might be chayav for bishul, even though certainly you're not chayav for achila because it's a royal achila. So we see that Bishul is a separate independent category here. It's an Isur Bifnei Atzma, and the Isur Achila is an Isur Bifnei Atzma. So we have two independent Isurim. And in the case of Pigul and Nosar, you ask yourself, well, why did the Braisa have to tell me that he's Chayev? Obviously he's Chayev. If Bishul is a separate Isur, then whether or not he's Chayev for Achila is irrelevant. He's going to be Chayev for Bishul because Pigul, Nosar, and Tomei are Basar. It's not like Atzomos. And it's Royal Achila, and it's included on the Gedi. And you're certainly Chayev for Bishul. There's no issue of Ein Isur Chalal Isur with regard to Bishul. So what was the Braisa coming to be Mechadish to us? So the Gemara assumes that the Gemara is coming to Mechadish that you're Chayev even for Achila. And that means that this brisa reflects the shita that Isur Chalal Isur, and the Gemara says, okay, that's the Tana of this brisa, but Rav Ami and Rav Asi hold, like other Tanoim in other Mishnayos and other brisas that hold Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Now the next sugya that we're about to start, which is the sugya Bechalov, honestly requires a lot of work in Tuma Vitara. And I'm going to have to fudge it at this point. Maybe over Shabbos, if I have a chance, I'll get more into it. We know that there are seven mashkim,
right,
seven liquids, that if they fall on a foodstuff, they're machshir the food lekabolas tuma. So let's say you have an orange, and the orange fell into water, and now a sheretz falls onto the orange. So in such a case, it's mekabel tuma. And this is based on a Mishnah, the sixth parak of Machshirim. And on that list is Chalav. Now, if Chalav, milk, would spill onto a foodstuff, or onto grains, or whatever it might be, then it would be Mukhsha Lekavel Tuma. And this is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. It says, "Mikola ochel asher yochal asher yovo aleihem mayim yitma." And Chazal darshin that a foodstuff is not makabel tuma until mayim, until water comes in contact with the food, and it's machshavet makabel tuma. So mayim is one of the seven mashkin. And the Sifra says, Eli Ela Mayim. I might think it's only Mayim, because the Pasuk itself mentions Mayim and only Mayim. And Tal, Yayin, Shemed, Dam, Dvash, Mecholav, Binayin, Tablom, Vechol, Mashke. Now the Pasuk continues and says, Vechi, Tein, or Yutan, Mayim, Al Zara, Venafal, Bin, Nivlasom, Alav, Tomehu, Lachel. So we're talking about something that's Gidula, Mina, Aretz. And the Torah says it's only kiyuta and mayim al zara, only after mayim is placed onto this gidula menaretz zera, then and only then is v'nafal nivlasam is tamehu lachem. And it says mayim twice. It says mayim first in the pasuk we call ha'ochel asher yochal asher yomol of mayim yitma. And then the Torah repeats the word mayim, v'chiyutan mayim al zara. And Chazal darshan, eli el al mayim shar mashke binayim tamalomer mayim mayim. That the double language of mayim, the repetition, is never lemayim lemala, never mayim lemata, ma mayim hamur lemala, osav shar mashkim kemayim. So we already had a drasha that says, Mikol, etc. Shayovu Mayim. Mikol means from all mashkim. Bechol mashkim means all mashkim. And now the second Mayim, we're going to equate it with the first Mayim and say that it doesn't limit itself to Mayim, but it also applies to all mashkim. That's called Nemar Mayim Lamala, Venemar Mayim Lamatava Mayim Hamur Lamala, Osabo. Shar mashkim kemayim is af mayim amur lumata osaba shar mashkim kemayim. So we have seven mashkim. Now, how do we know that these seven mashkim are all mashkim? So the Braisa in Masechta Shabbos brings some sort of a remez for each one of these seven mashkim. In the case of Cholov, why is Cholov considered a mashke? Because of a pasuk in Shoftim, and there it says, "Vatiftach es nod hachalav vatashkehu." So, from the extra word "vatashkehu," referring to chalav, we see that chalav is considered a mashke, and so forth and so on. In each case of the seven mashkim, there's a pasuk that is quoted to establish that that is a mashke. Okay, fine. Now, we can talk about two things. We can talk about which animal has cholov, and therefore that cholov is a mashke, and if it falls on an ochel, it's mashke l'kabel tumah. And not only that, we can talk about, let's say, the cholov itself, right, the substance of the cholov, if we break down the milk into its various component parts. So for example, cholov always has a combination of mayim and cholov. If we can extract the mayim from the cholov, and that's the subject here of this Mishnah in Machshirim, when it says mei chalav, harei hein ke chalav. That's interesting. I would have said mei chalav harei hein ke mayim, but it says in the Brisa harei hein ke chalav. And you and I would think that the reason why the Brisa wants to tell us that mei chalav is chalav is because that would have repercussions elsewhere. For example, the Pasulos of Hashel Gdiba Chalev Imo, that even mei chalav is also considered chalav. But the Gemara is going to assume just the opposite. That since this Mishnah is addressing the issue of mashke, it is telling you that mei chalav is a mashke. It's not telling you that mei chalav is chalav. It's telling you it's a mashke. Even though the Mishnah's language is arei hein ke chalav. So we emphasize the chaf adimion, and we say it has the same status as chalav insofar as it still retains its status as a mashke. Then we have something else which is called shemen, and that is derivative from the olive. So you press the olives and you remove its oil. When you extract the oil of zeisim, then you get shemen, right? If you remember, we had seven mashkim. And we, besides mayim, we have tal, yayin, and shemen. And then we have dam, dvash, and cholov. So we have shemen on the list. So the Mishnah says, v'ha mochal, which is a mashke that falls out of the zesim, harei hein kishemen. And once again, we're talking not about the oil itself, but some sort of a liquid that is a component, an ingredient in the shemen, and that ingredient, insofar as it comes out from the pressing of the olives, that also has the status of shemen. It's also a mashke, and it's mashke l'kabel tumah, and that's called mochal. Amarei Shlokish, lo shanu elo lahachshas hazroel. What we're learning in that Mishnah, that mei chalav is elevated to the status of chalav, that's only as far as machshirin is concerned. Amal inyan bishul, if you ask me whether or not mei chalav has the status of chalav in other dinim, the Mishnah is going to tell you no, it's only a din in mashke, as far as kabbalas tumah and hechsher is concerned. But he would not be chayav if he took the mei chalav and he cooked basar with the mei chalav, because mei chalav einon kechalav. So even though the basar is basar, the mei chalav is not chalav. So if he cooks meat with mei chalav, he's not chayav, and he doesn't generate an iser basar b'chalav. And this we saw earlier in the brisa that we studied today that says ha'mevashel b'mei chalav patur. So on a deraisa level, he's not chayev because mei chalav is not chalav. Now the Gemara brings another braisa to derive from a certain source that there's an iser basar b'chalav with regard to all behemoths, right? The Torah just says, lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. Torah Rabbanon, lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. So let's say the mother of a gdi is a young goat, is called in Hebrew an Aes. Bechalev para v'rachel, so we can extract milk from cow or from sheep. What's the status of bei imo, of chalev imo in the case of a para and a rachel? Minayin, how do you know that's also included under an expanded definition of gdi? And the Brisa explains how we know this. So again, the subject of this Brisa is to clarify what's the source for the Eastern Basar B'chalav in Para and Rachel. The Gemara never really clarifies how do we know that the Eastern Basar B'chalav in the case of an Aes, She'eno Imo, which is very interesting, meaning I can extract the milk from one goat and cook it with the meat of a different goat, and I would violate the Isur Boshel of Bishul Boshel Mecholov, even though it's not Chalev Ima. So that's really interesting. Why is the Braisa totally focused on the issue of who Imo is, whether it's Parah, Rachel, or only Gedi, or Eiz, and yet we have to know what that if it's not Chalev Imo. So he has here a footnote in which he quotes Rashi and others. The Rav Shif expands the Rashi that Mashmos haposkel os vashel gedi b'chalev imo hi she'osel vashel dafko b'chalev imo. And then we have to ask ourselves, so what about the chalev coming from a different aze, a different cat, goat? But Rashi says chalev imo klomar aze. So the Rav Shif says, what does Rashi mean to say klomar aves? What was Rashi trying to emphasize here? Rashi be b'maskel aveli. Says the Rav Shif, Rashi wants to tell us that any aves, that's what Rashi means when he says aves. Aves means any goat, even if it's not the goat whose basar is being cooked with the milk of that goat. So again, you might wonder whether or not the Braisa should have addressed a different question. How do you know if there are two goats, you know, the milk from one and the basa from another, you're still chayav for basa b'chol? Now, the Gemara back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis had a drasha that all behema tahora is included on the gedi. And if that be the case, you wonder, why does this Bryce that was studying here on Kuf Yud Dalet feel compelled to derive the conclusion that even the chalav of Rachel and Para is included here? We already included all behemoth mea. Now you might argue that there's a difference between the basar and the chalav, and maybe our ribui for kol behemoth tahora being included on the gedi, that's only as far as basar is concerned, but as far as chalav is concerned, chalev imo, maybe Chalev Imo requires an A's to the exclusion of Para and Rachel. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel B'Chalev Imo, the Tana of this Braisa never accepted the Droshos of the Gemara back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. He holds that Gedi in the Torah means it's only a Gedi. And if you were to cook the meat of a cow, for example, with chalav, you would not be chayav. He needs a special drasha that goes beyond gedi, and he doesn't have that drasha. What he does have is a drasha in chalev imo to go beyond the chalev of a gedi and to include the chalav of a para as well. So it's really interesting that according to the understanding of Rashi, this Braisa that we're learning now is going to say that Gedi means Gedi and only Gedi, and Chalev Imo includes other animals. But if you accept the Braisa that we had back on Kuf Yud Gimel, that we already have a drasha from Gedi to expand it to include all behemoth tahoros, then we might be tempted to say we don't need another pasuk in Chalav to include the Chalav of a para. Or, alternatively, we'd say, well, maybe Basar is different and Cholav is different. Now, there's a Tosus here, Dimir Maskel B'Cholav, and they explain that the Tana, this Braisa, does not reject the previous Droshos in the Gemara. He also admits that any Behema Tahora is included in Gedi. He doesn't need a Drosha for Cholav Imo, for the chalav of any behemoth tahora, because it's already included in the mashmos haposuk. It says chalev imo, and that means of any animal. He's only coming to darshan. How do we know that basa para bechalav gedi, or basa gedi bechalev para, which is not written in the pasuk? How do we know that that's also included under the iser basa bechalav? Now that's Tosus's shita here, which Amir Tz Hashem will try to pick up on Yom Sheni. So can I borrow a pencil just for a second? I just want to write down where we're up to here.